So now Martin, it was supposed to be with Paul, but Paul couldn't make it. So Martin just present the presentation about Kubernetes AI building himself.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Remember now, I'm like a lecturer up here. If I see you walking down, I'm going to name and shame you. No, that's only a joke. All right. So with AI, folks, businesses are out there and they're trying to leverage the advantage with AI. And one of the key aspects of that is being able to build better AI applications so that they can get the return on investment in AI. Because AI costs money to run your models, to leverage them, to train them, etc. And for that to be used, they need to see the return on investment. So my name is Martin Hickey. I am an open source developer and I work over at IBM. And I'm going to be walking through, because we have a 5-minute talk, I'm going to concentrate us on two small tenets for the moment, and you can take it from there and check them out yourself afterwards. So the two tenets I'm going to look at is, first of all, I'm going to look at taking a model, off-the-shelf open model, and how do you tune it for your own domain data. So I'm not looking at your, you know, your general model, and you can ask it different questions that's been trained on the internet and stuff, but what about if you need to build an application for your customer or for yourself and you need the domain specific on it? The second one then is, how do we take models and actually use them to execute complex workflows? So starting off with the tuning aspect. So when we take a model, whatever model that's out there, the open models, it's going to be trained from everything that's on the internet and also any synthetic data after that, because believe it or not, we've used up all the data on the internet at this stage, okay? But the important part to this is that if we're going to use it for something for our customers or for ourselves, we're going to need to put domain data into that. And that's called tuning. Now you're going to turn around to me and say, RAG, what about RAG? Yes, they're not mutually exclusive. You can tune your model with domain data and you can also use RAG as well. And generally you'd probably use RAG for data that changes quite a lot. So you'll put in your domain-specific knowledge and data that's updating quite regularly, then you're going to use RAG. Because, you know, there's going to be an overhead calling across into a vector database and pulling back the data. Now, the problem, or I suppose two kind of complications with tuning models are, open models is, number one, trying to contribute into a model today is difficult with an open model. So what happens is, instead of building a new version of the model, we build a new variant. Hands up here who has seen the many different variants of Llama out there. Yeah, so there's a Llama for this, a Llama for that, and for the different domains, and that's no one's fault, it's just the way it is. The second one is around when you try to tune the model, you need to have this high barrier of entry, which is having AI knowledge or deep AI knowledge. Wouldn't it be nice to just tune the model with the data you have and not have to worry about all the complications that go with it? And that's where InstructLab comes in. So what InstructLab does for you, it's a workflow which allows you to build, to put your data on top of the base model and tune that to create a new version of the model. So your base model doesn't change. The data you're putting in or the knowledge you're adding to it is, as I say, data or knowledge. It's like PDFs, it's markdowns, etc. So you don't need a deep knowledge of or understanding of AI for that. Also, when a new variation, when a new version of the base model comes out, you can train it again because your data is all stored in a taxonomy, which is essentially a binary tree of data. And every time you go to bring out the new version, you just tune the model again using that. The other aspect of it then is you can contribute your knowledge out into the community, because it's an open, vibrant community that's out there, okay? Now, you may say, okay, we've got private information, we're not putting that out there. But that's okay too, because you can take this workflow, bring it inside, have your own taxonomy that you build up, and then build versions of your model as you go along, or tune your versions of your model. The second tenet that I mentioned is around using your model, be it a large language model, a small language model, whatever, for something more than user prompts or for just, you know, chat or whatever else. Look, it's great to ask it to do a poem or do something else or ask it a few questions, but let's make it a bit more powerful, okay? The way to help you this is the agentic frameworks. What the agentic framework is essentially, it's making your large language model or whatever type of version of model you have to be the brain of the particular application. So the way I kind of look at it with an agent is, it's like a wrap around with your model in there, and then you have a series of flows or actions you can put in there. 5 minutes left in a 5 minutes talk. This is a good one. Okay. Oh, sorry. It's 1 minute. Oh, I'm not allowed to do those jokes. Okay. Sorry. You have to make it, you have to lighten up a lightning talk. I'm sorry about that. Very bad joke. Anyway. Anyway, so what you want to do then is you're going to put in a series of tools or functions around that to give the large language model more power or more drive in it. So the way I look at it is imagine if you want to use this model to be to provide you with the best route to some location, be it home or somewhere you have to go. So instead of just saying, right, give me the best route, wouldn't it be great if the model could first of all ask Google Maps to say, what's the traffic like in the location at the moment? But in addition, maybe it could go out and ask the weather, what kind of weather is there at the moment? But while it's doing that, couldn't it always ask if you have any emergency service APIs in your area or in your country? So imagine being able to take all that information together to make a decision to give you back. And that's the key with agentic that I look at, and putting your agents and using your model as the brain for it. So why the BAI or IMB framework? First of all, it's open source. But out of the box, it's production ready. So what do I mean by that? So what I mean by that is, it's ready for the different errors and real world situations. Because no longer now are we just asking the model to do something. We're asking the model to call external systems to get information back. And as we all know, if you've ever written an external system, there's always an error. Something goes down. And being able to handle that and being able to troubleshoot it and look at the monitoring and the telemetry, that is key. The second of all is the tools that are around it. What kind of tools are there? And in this framework, it's got a lot of tools. For example, around if you want to do searches, if you want to do query to SQL, if you want to look at weather or traffic, it's in there and it's building as it goes along. And there's also some agents out of the box that you can use for text summarization or different things. The final thing as well is, you know, if you want to build your agents, go and code it, away for it. But if you're not into coding and you want no code, you can also have that through the UI. So to just finish up, I put the two links up here because basically we haven't time to talk about that much. But check it out, see what you think, and give it a go. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.